on the wall for this particular message here this morning. And, of course, last week we recognized Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we talked about the new bills that have come to pass with our government the way it is in the state of New York. Virginia is contemplating the same thing. Vermont will be passing theirs soon. So it's we live in some very dark days in America. Why has America changed so much? What brought about this change? And I'm actually going to preach on this subject. Evolution is the path to evil. Now I'll try to make sense of that in just a moment. I would like now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Jerry pop that first slide up there, if you would please. Now, there's going to be a bunch of scriptures that I'm going to read here in just a moment, and then you can read them on that. At the 11 o'clock service, these are verses that the young people in the co-op memorized. So at 11 o'clock, the co-op kids will come up, and they'll just quote all of these particular verses. But because there's only one here this morning at this service, and she was not so interested in doing it all by herself, but I went and asked her, but she didn't have a heart attack, so that was a good thing, but she was like, but they'll all, the ones that are here from our church, because there are some kids that go to different churches in the co-op, they will quote all of these verses. But I think part of the problem really begins right here, and you'll notice in Genesis chapter 1, it says this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then if you want to follow along on it, I don't know if they're all in order or not, but there's five categories. The first one is God is the creator of heaven and earth. And so the Bible says there in Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And then it says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, by understanding he has established the heavens. There's a second category, and that is that God is the creator of man. In Genesis 1:27, that one's in your Bible if you want to look at it, or you can look right there on the screen. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Here's some information for you. Almost all modern translations of the Bible, the word soul is not in that verse. Being is. Man became a living being. A cat's a living being, I guess it would be qualified, a cat would. But a dog would, a horse would. But man, here it says, became a living soul. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are the work of thy hand. There's a third category, that God is the creator of all things. In John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians 1:16 and 17, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So he didn't only just create things, he also, by him all things consist, that is, they are held together. The fourth category was creation proclaims God. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I had a young man that was a friend of mine all through school and high school. We were neighbors as little children, and we still are acquaintances even to this day. He was brought up with an atheist family. His mom and dad are atheists. His grandparents are atheists. His aunts and uncles are all atheists. But I was witnessing to him one day after I got saved. He goes, well, I know there's a God. I said, how do you know there's a God, Jim? He says, because somebody had to put this in place. It could not have just happened. Now, he came from an atheist family, and he figured that out. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And then, fifthly, because there is a creator, he deserves our worship. Nehemiah 9:6 says, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. And then in Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. And now you'll notice there it says creation, creation, creation. So why do we make such a big deal out of creation? Well, I guess the obvious answer is the Bible does. But evolution, I said, clears the path, I guess you might even want to say, for evil. Evolution is the gradual development of something, especially from a simple to a more complex form. I have a simple question on that before we proceed. How come it doesn't happen any longer? If it evolved and evolved and evolved, what caused evolution to stop? How come there isn't something better than man? Why did it all stop? Now, the father of evolution, I guess everybody knows this, is Charles Darwin. Mr. Darwin lived between 1809 and, I believe, 1882 or somewhere in there. But anyway, he is known for his theory of evolution and also for the process of natural selection. So in 1859, or right around there, he began to publish certain books on the origin of species. And he says that species survive through a process which he called natural selection. After the Big Bang, he noticed similarities between the species. Thus, what we have today have all evolved from our common ancestors. Now, that's a pretty weak way to do science. The apes and the monkeys and the such like, they're all related to mankind. But mankind, according to the Bible, and I'm looking at Genesis 2:7 if you want to look there, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man is God's grand creation. Only humans have a soul. We won't take the time, but you can. If you go back and you read Genesis chapter 1, you find 6 days of creation, and on the seventh day God rested. Man did not evolve. The stars didn't evolve. God created them. Now, I will tell you how bizarre some of this stuff is getting. So in the co-op classes, other than a few classes that we've had recently on evangelism, I've taught the foundations. And one of the things with the foundations is obviously creation. And we watched a video. And there was a college, Hannah might remember. You remember that professor from that college? You remember what college it was? Me either. But anyway, I remember the professor too. But what he made a statement. But what was worse than the statement that he made was how the college students responded to his statement. His statement was, the stars exploded and da-da-da-da, and thus we have hands and arms and toes and feet. And then he made this statement. Yeah, that was, I'd never heard that one before. But then he said this. He said, so there is no Jesus. And all the college students in the class applauded him when he said, there is no Jesus. But if you don't have a creator, you don't have a Jesus. It was the bizarrest thing I'd ever... I was going to play it. Maybe one of these days I'll put the clip up there. Now, Wikipedia says... creation is pseudoscience. So I got me one of these smartphones a while ago, so I looked this up all by myself. I can talk to my phone, and my phone answers me. It's the most bizarre thing ever. Anyway, so it says an article on creation.com, no, I'm sorry, yeah, this was from Wikipedia, but then Ken Ham put it in this magazine, highlighted the open prejudice of the world's largest online encyclopedia. So this is the world's largest online encyclopedia, Wikipedia. Events manager Paul Price attempted to correct wrong information about a Dr. Jonathan Sefardi, only to find he was subsequently banned further from contributing on Wikipedia's site. Now, why was he banned from putting anything on Wikipedia? This is what Wikipedia said. There is zero chance that Wikipedia will ever treat pseudoscientists, which they had already said were creationists, who believed that everything was created in 7 literal days, 10,000 years ago, the same way we treat actual scientists, like astronomers and geologists and zoologists and all of that. Now, who have solid evidence that the Earth is much, much older. Quite honestly, there is no solid evidence that the Earth is much, much older. And if you do a little bit of research on this, you can find out, for instance, they said the Ice Age takes millions of years. Well, after World War II, they found some airplanes shortly thereafter that were buried under 250 feet of ice. It only took a few years for that to happen, not millions. Fossils. In West Virginia, several years ago, there was an accident, and so all the miners had to bail out of the mine, and they got out. One guy dropped his hat, but he didn't stop to go retrieve it. Then several years later, I think about 30 or 40 years later, they opened up the mine again and they found his hat perfectly fossilized. Didn't take thousands of years. Didn't take millions of years. Only took a few years. So that is the typical view and response from those who've never heard the opposite side of the story, creation. Now, how are people going to hear if open discussion is banned? Wikipedia is going to ban creationists. And the reality is that the situation is likely to increase and preventing millions of people from ever hearing the truth. Now, before we go any further, I want Jerry to put up that second thing up there, Jerry. Because I'm not going to bore you with reading that, and I don't even know if you can see that. But really, do all scientists agree with Darwin, or do some actual science, real scientists, actually believe the Bible? Now, if you'll notice that slide, and I'm not going to read it, but on the right-hand side is the names of all the scientists, and on the left-hand side is what they are a scientist in. Now, the survey of scientists has established who to be the greatest scientist who ever lived. The fifth and sixth graders are studying him right now. Sir Isaac Newton. Sir Isaac Newton is considered to be the greatest scientist ever. Mr. Newton believed in God, he believed in Jesus Christ, he believed in the Bible, and he believed in creation. And so, to the chagrin of modern evolutionary science, Newton wrote more books on theology than he did on science. The Revered Scientific Method was invented by a Christian, not a creationist. The inventor of antiseptic surgery was done by a fellow by the name of Joseph Lister. He also was a Christian. And all down through there, you can find all kinds of different areas, and the people that are listed on the right-hand side of that, they were all Christians. They all believed the Bible. They all believed in creation, and they all believed in Jesus Christ. So for Wikipedia to come out and say, we're not going to put these pseudoscientists on the same level as a real scientist, what are they going to do with all those guys? Oh, he made it bigger. You're good, Jer. I mean, what are you going to do with that? So I personally think you cannot believe in evolution and creation at the same time. And I'll go a step further, and I'm sure there will be some in the world that wouldn't agree with this. I don't think you can really believe in evolution and be a believer. You say, why is this so under attack? Well, what page is it in your Bible? First page. If Satan can get you to doubt your Bible at page one, why don't you just doubt the whole rest of it? What makes it worth anything? Now, I said evolution clears a path for evil. Is that a big step? And I want to give you a graph right now. Jerry, put that graph up there. That's the next one. When you have evolution, here's what it leads to. Evolution leads to an absence of a creator. So we read multiple verses of scripture that mention a creator. But when you eliminate a creator, when you believe in evolution, you eliminate the creator. Now, if there's no creator, then there's no God. And all those verses that we read earlier, and I didn't count them, all those verses, you could throw them away. For a believer, God is our master. God is our Lord. God gave us an instruction book. It's called the Holy Bible. Now, let me give you a question here. If you don't believe in a creator, who becomes your master? Who becomes your Lord? You do. Now, all of a sudden, this leads to some major problems. So the last verse in the book of Judges, chapter 21 and verse 25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, if there's no creator to answer to, you might just as well do that which is right in your own eyes. Now, what are some of the problems this leads to? When you have an absence of a creator, I think Mel typed that on there wrong. I know she did. It's supposed to say absence of morality. We're going to have a talk with her on that. But anyway, you can fix that. There's no morals. There's a meaningless of life. It doesn't mean anything. And there's a meaningless of faith. By the way, if there's no creator that leads to a meaningless of not life, why not abort babies? Why not expand abortion? Why not leave them on a table without any medical attention so they can just perish? I mean, after all, life is meaningless. It's just a blob. So here's some. These are some big problems. Now you just keep thinking about this stuff. When you have no creator, that's what we do. We think and do what we think we ought to do. With the absence of a creator comes an absence of morality, a meaningless of life, and a meaningless of faith. Now what does this have to do with evil? Well, when you have an absence of creator, you have an absence of morality. That leads to all kinds of problems. Now, the first word there, you're probably familiar with, but maybe not, hedonism. What motivates us to do what we do? Now, in this theory, it's pleasure. What is good for me? What will float my boat? What will make me happy? How do I behave? All that matters is pleasure, and I got to get pain out of my life. So the good life is to be lived by the one who's living it. But who says what's pleasurable? I do. I have that right. I'm not going to be answerable to anybody. So there's no morality. Now, when you have no morality, I mentioned hedonism, but also what about fascism? Now, why not? What did fascism lead to? You know this, the Holocaust. That's what that led to. You see, all kinds of problems begin to develop when you have no creator, you believe in evolution, and you all of a sudden you're not answerable to anybody, and there is an answer of morality. So who says homosexuality is wrong? Who says homosexuality is wrong for anybody? After all, I don't know if you know this or not, there's been a lot of bad laws passed since January. And one of them is this, because nobody has the right to say what's right and wrong except the person that's experiencing it. If a young person in our church or anywhere else comes to me and you and says, Pastor, I know I'm a man and a guy, but I kind of feel a little feminine. You know what the law says you're supposed to do in that situation? I'm sorry, I can't help you. And if I do help you by advice or counsel, I'm breaking the law. Now, I would break the law. But I'm just telling you where we are in America. Because if that's really going to make that person happy and eliminate that guilt and that pain in his life, then we're going to have to let him be happy. That's where this leads to. This leads to all kinds of issues. Now, I mentioned under hedonism, because I'm going to do what makes me happy, that leads to promiscuity. Well, what's promiscuity lead to? All kinds of immoral problems. Divorce, family disintegration, and when you destroy the natural family between a man and a woman, what always increases? Crime. It's just a natural flow. And you've read the news and watched the news, and you've seen that played out over and over and over again. Promiscuity leads to pleasure. I think I want to be a homosexual. I'll think I'll participate in premarital sex. I'll be a transgender. You know what? That girl over there looks very attractive to me. I think I'll rape her, and that'll make me happy. Now, there's AIDS I wrote on there originally, but actually, quite honestly, you could put all STDs in there. You say, where'd that start? That started with evolution. And then it did away with the Creator. And now that people are answerable to a God, here's where it comes. Now, Hitler said, destroy those who I think the world would be better off without. And so that's what happened. No Creator to answer to leads to no moral absolutes. Who says what's right? Who says what's wrong? Where do we get our rights and where do we get our wrongs from? The Bible. How do I know I'm supposed to love my wife? You say, well, common sense. Well, actually, the Bible tells me to. How do I know my wife is supposed to submit to me? The Bible says so. How do I know how I'm supposed to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? The Bible says so. How do I know that's wrong and that's wrong and that's wrong and that's wrong? The Bible says so. How do I know that's right and that's right and that's right and that's right? Well, the Bible says so. But when you have no Creator to answer to, it leads to no moral absolutes. And ultimately, then everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. Now let's think about the meaningless of life. That leads to despair. Despair leads to rage. Rage leads to school shootings. Now you say, that's getting that, isn't that a big jump? Not really. It's not really a big jump. Nobody comes along when they feel their life is meaningless and says something like this, I wonder what God's plan for me is. Life has really no meaning except being happy, getting pain out of my life. But nobody says, what is God's eternal plan for me? Because remember, they believed in evolution. They believe in no Creator. You know what? My life is so meaningless, I think I'll just commit suicide. Why should I live? If you understand that there's a God in heaven and He created you for a purpose on this earth, then you don't have to worry about those kind of thoughts. They might come in, I suppose, fleeting moments. I can't ever say I've had one, but some have said they have. But why not just take my life if it's meaningless? By the way, if your life is meaningless, why wouldn't it be full of despair? Some of us go back long enough to remember that hee-haw song they had. Blue despair and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Blue despair and agony on me. Remember that song? How is it I can remember that song and not remember all the Bible verses I want to remember? You ever one of that? But that's what you would be. Woe is me. That's an awful thing. An absence of a Creator. Meaningless of a life leads to despair. It leads to atheism. No Creator. Why wouldn't it? Atheism always leads to eternal damnation. Always. But if you don't believe in a Creator, and if you believe annihilation, that when somebody dies, there's no more life, there's no more nothing, it's just a blob, it's gone, goodbye, adios, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It always leads to eternal damnation, though. And by the way, it also leads to abortion. Life is meaningless. It's a blob. It's a fetus. Melissa was telling me the other day, I don't remember if it was Michaela or Emmett she was pregnant for, but every single time she talked to the doctor, he never said baby. It was always the fetus, the fetus, the fetus. And she would say, my baby, and the doctor would say the fetus or the embryo, but never said a baby. Now, it may be the doctors are trying to be politically correct, but it's a baby. But it's just, this is where all of this has led. So we said, you know what? Let's have evolution. People bought into Darwin's theory. By the way, I don't remember about you guys, but when I went to school, our wrestling coach, Mr. Little, he was our ninth grade science teacher. And he did not teach creation as a theory. He taught it as an absolute fact. Absolute fact. And I never remember hearing anybody when I was in school talk about anything to do with a Creator or creation. Never one time. Now maybe when I went to school, none of my teachers were Christian or whatever. I don't know if they were, if they weren't. I wasn't. But this is where we are. Now, all this stuff is bad stuff. What happened was something like this. Somebody said, you know what? I got an idea. Let's take the Bible out of school. And somewhere, people said, okay. By the way, you've probably read this. But you know what the media is attacking Mrs. Pence for now? She substitute teaches in a Christian school. How dare her? I would think they would be applauding her. But that's their latest attack on her. I'm thinking, you know, they are really trying to find stuff to get the Pences for. And so far, it's almost been laughable, the things that they're doing. But somewhere, somebody said, let's take the Bible out. Let's get the Bible out. Now, you think about something. You mean the one that talks about a creator? The one that says God created man in his own image? The one that says in 6 days God created everything? Yeah, that's the one. And somebody said, you know, that's a good idea. Let's get it out of there. And so you know what they did? They took the Bible away. You know the one that teaches discipline and character and morals and what's right and what's wrong? And it shows you God's plan for your wife? The one that teaches children to obey their parents, where we learn about marriage and morals and purpose of life and what faith is and where it's supposed to go. That one, do you want to get rid of that one? Yeah, that's the one. And somehow, everybody said, okay, the Bible that's supposed to rule my life, yeah, we're going to get rid of it. Horrible idea. And then, a few years later, we might as well take prayer out as well. Because, you know, this new theory of evolution, obviously, most people don't believe in creation. So we'll take prayer out. And that happened. And now prayer's gone. You mean the one that we pray to the Creator? The one that the book we got rid of, that we're supposed to put all of our faith in, that's the one you want to not pray to anymore? Yeah, that's the one. And somehow we said, okay. And so the Creator's been taken out of our culture. Beginning with Darwin in the mid-1800s. Evolution clears a path for evil because you have no God and you have no Bible. That's why creation is so critically important. Now there's no absolutes. There's no absolute right or wrong. You do what you want for your own pleasure, no matter what you have to do to others. And if it means persecuting Christians, so be it. Now, somewhere I missed it in my notes, but I had written in there, I expect persecution to Christians to go on the rise. So I wanted to mention that this morning, that you ought not to be shocked if you live a godly life. You know where Jesus said, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution? Well, guess what? You ought to. And you ought to take it as a badge of honor. So what Christians... really, they ought to become more separate from the world and really start living for the Lord. Now, all of these things, here's the reason why they don't want a creator and they don't want a Bible. They don't want to live under anybody's rule except their own. Go back to the last chapter in Judges again. They want to do that which is right in their own eyes. How do I know murder's wrong? The Bible tells me that. I've read the Ten Commandments. And lying, and cheating, and stealing is how we know marriage is right between a man and a woman. How we know children are precious. How we know we're supposed to love and obey. Do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. Where is the real meaning in life found? It's in finding the will of God and doing it. That's where real meaning comes from. It's knowing that there is a creator. We know that we're supposed to go to all the world and tell the world. We're supposed to worship him. God gives us real meaning to life. Love the brethren. Do good to all men, not just yourself. Look, if you would, please, with me over to, well, look at that. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That verse 10 says this, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I have a meaning in life, my purpose in life, to find what God wants me to do, to find the good works that God has created in me and do them for the glory of the Lord. That's what I'm supposed to do. But when people start buying into this evolution stuff, it has absolutely cleared the path for evil, and it gave a theory and ultimately the absence of a creator. That's why I say it's a path to evil. The fact of the matter is, real purpose in life comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. Now, I want to ask you something. So, you've had that. Jerry, you can turn that thing. If you can fix that word immorality, that would be good to put it moral. But anyway, or whatever it was. But anyway, fix that one. Oh. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with the stuff I just mentioned? Well, I don't know, preacher. What should I do with it? Well, you ought to be more bold. You ought to be vocally more bold. You ought to cry aloud and spare not. You ought not to be afraid when you hear people talking about abortion to say, you know, that's just wrong. That is sinfully wrong. When you hear people talking about evolution, and you hear about it quite often, if you're a younger person, you might want to say, you know what, I don't believe in evolution. I believe in creation. It makes a whole lot more sense. By the way, you got to have more faith to believe in evolution than you have to have to believe in creation. Creation is a whole lot more simple and a whole lot more makes a whole lot more sense. But you ought to become bold for the glory of God. You ought to be telling more and more and more people about Jesus. Because the more people you win to Jesus, the less people believe in evolution. The less people throw the Creator away. We have got to become more bold. Some of you, and I don't know where this happened. I've tried to figure it out. Nobody has an answer for me. Where did Christians stop becoming involved in the political area of the world? Where did that happen? When did that happen? Why did it happen? I was talking to a lady Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and she was visiting our church. I asked her, I said, why did you enjoy the service? She goes, I got to be honest, I've never been in a church before where anything political was ever mentioned. And I didn't know what to say. So I simply said, I'm sorry to hear that. Some of these things are not political issues. Some of these things are biblical issues. And they're almost all sinful issues. That's what they are. And we need to become bold. Some of you might want to put some letters to the editor. Or don't be afraid to use whatever you guys use on your phones. And I said I got a smartphone, but I'm very limited to what I do with it. You know, I talk on it. I make text on it. It takes good pictures. And I do look up. I'll ask it some questions now and again. It'll give me an answer. And that's about as far as I go. But a lot of you have a lot more knowledge with that kind of stuff. And you got to put godly stuff on there. Don't be stupid and be idiotic, but put good godly stuff on there. And make a difference maybe in somebody's life. You know, you can make a statement one time somewhere, and you never know the influence it'll have on their life. Jennifer DeLello called me the other day. Remember Jennifer? And she was in our... Donna, you remember Jennifer? So anyway, she called me up the other day, and she says, Pastor, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit. And she goes, you know, you're never going to know, because I used to teach the teen class back there. Years ago. She goes, you're never going to know all the decisions that were made in that teen class back there. You're never going to know sometimes when you say something to somebody that might make a difference in their life. Don't you want to make a difference for the glory of God in somebody's life? Well, to do so, we've got to be more bold. Now, let me say this to the parents. You ought to be saturating your kid's mind with creationism. They ought to understand that they were created by a God in heaven, the Creator. They ought to, they should be unmovable on that. You know, after you mature enough in certain things in the Lord, and somebody says something that you don't agree with at all, you know it's totally wrong, it doesn't make you mad. You just stand there. You say, well, that's not what the Bible teaches. This is what the Bible teaches. And you can have a mature adult conversation with them without flying off the handle because you don't know what you're talking about. But one way to cover that up is yell and scream all the time. But you've got to get your kids to understand creation. That evolution is a lie right out of the pits of hell. It just is. And I want to encourage you to realize how evolution has cleared a path for evil. But I want to not only help you to see that, I want you to encourage you this morning or challenge you this morning to do something about it. When people say, well, Wikipedia says, Wikipedia is not the Bible. It isn't. And anyway, let's pray. Before I pray, I want to ask you, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Our world is in sad shape. Part of the reason? Evolution. We make a big deal out of creation. I probably don't preach on it enough, quite honestly. But let's be bold. Let's tell people about a Creator. Let's tell people about Jesus. And let's win them to the Lord. Father, I gave several facts. We looked at several different verses scattered throughout the Bible that talk about creation, how you created the universe, how you created man, how you created all the animals. Not only did you create all things, by you all things consist. You breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I would pray today that somebody might show up here this morning that's concerned enough about their soul to do something about it, to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But all of us probably need to step up our game a little bit, be more bold, more courageous, unashamed of the gospel, to tell people about our precious Lord and Savior. To give somebody some real, true meaning in life. God, I pray that you will use us to help reach many souls and bring them to Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Faith, would you play, please? So what will you do? How bold will you get? I didn't say argumentative. But bold, to not be ashamed to point out right and wrong, to not be ashamed to tell others about the Creator, the Savior. Would you follow the Lord even if nobody joins you? Will you just keep following Him? more bold, more courageous, following the Lord. Father, I pray you put a passion in our heart for you and for the things of God. A hatred for the things that you hate. A love for the things that you love. Help us to be the kind of people that you would want us to be. Fill us with your Spirit and anoint us. And Lord, give us a boldness to live for the glory of God regardless of the surroundings we're in. To be able to stand up, to say what we need to say, the truth, unashamed. And I pray that you would use us for your glory and for your honor. The last thing with our verses we looked at was, you deserve to be worshipped. And may we bring others to you so they too can have the awesome privilege to worship you. Lord, challenge us. Challenge us strong. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you got a few extra minutes today. We'll get ready for Sunday school.
Deep waters flow.